May it please God to bless us together this morning as we turn to his word. Let us turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, and we'll read verse 4. The book of the Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, and reading verse 4. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? I suppose we live in a day and age when such words are not as true as they were years ago. But without any doubt, in the days of King Solomon, such physical words were indeed very true. What the king said was carried out. People didn't ignore, people didn't disobey the word of a king. And therefore, as the king spoke words, it was with power because those things had to be obeyed. And they were not allowed to disobey them. And if they did, they usually the sentence was one of death. So it was nothing trivial to ignore the word of a king. Well, how true that is naturally, but my friends, it is really far more important and more true and more relevant for you and me today with regards to the word of God, because we know that we have a God who is a king. In actual fact, he's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. And the King of Kings, he speaks many, many words. And what a blessing for us if we know the truth of such a statement. Where the word of a king is, that's where the word of the Lord is, there is power. And by that I mean that the word has an effect upon our hearts. Now, such a word can come in various ways. And sometimes we might think, well, there's going to be a great earthquake, as it were, in my life, and a tremendous upheaval and a tremendous different situation may occur. Well, that may be so. And the word of God may come, perhaps in such a way. But just because we have this expression, there is power, we should not think that only generates something in a physical sense. Because when the Lord God speaks to our hearts, it is with power. And we shall be thankful to know that God has, in fact, come and addressed us. Now, one thing is very, very clear, and that is that God does, in one way or another, still today, speak to his people. God's people don't pass through this life without hearing from God. As God speaks to them, through his word, perhaps reading his word, perhaps bringing something to our remembrance, perhaps a text to our remembrance, perhaps a word may be spoken, but nonetheless, the Lord God does still today speak. And my friends, it is as the word of a king. And it's the King of Kings and it's God Almighty. And what a blessing when you and I realize that God has spoken. God has spoken. You know, I wonder this morning, if we went round every one of you and you asked the question, well, has the king spoken to you? Has the king spoken to your heart? What would your reaction be? Would you say, well, I really don't know what you're talking about. I really got no understanding of that at all. Or would you be able to say, and it will be, I'm quite sure, in a humble way, but a very thankful way, to be able to look back and to trace out a period, a time, perhaps a date, when God actually came and spoke to you. And you knew, emanated from God. And in that way, it was power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Now, let us be very clear that God does speak today. And we should all be concerned that we have heard, or that we will hear, the voice of God, the word of God, the word of the Lord speaking to our hearts. You know, many things are important, aren't they, in this world? Many things we think are very important. But we need to have an appreciation of that which is really important, that which is vital, and that which is not so important. And the things in our worldly life, the things that we have to do with day by day, may be important to us, but they're not as important as the condition of our soul. And it's very clear why there is that great difference. The difference is this: you and I are concerned day by day with things of time. Our soul is concerned with eternity. Now, do try and evaluate the difference. It is a vast difference. It is a difference which we cannot really fully comprehend, because our natural minds do not appreciate, cannot evaluate eternity. But nonetheless, eternity is a truth. And so may we be concerned to know that our souls are right for eternity. And it's important because, you see, none of us know what a day or an hour may bring forth. We may appear to be very healthy today, and yet, you see, we may be struck down tomorrow or even today. And then, you see, where will our soul be? That's the great issue, isn't it? We may have been setting our hearts upon things in this life and building up our expectations. Well, in one sense, nothing wrong with that. But the more important thing is the condition of our soul, and to know whether God's word has come to us with power. And I believe, generally speaking, when God comes in that way, we don't forget the word that God speaks to us. We don't forget. It's quite amazing, really, sometimes when people have become old and have lost a lot of their memory, they're able to still remember quite clearly what God has spoken to them. And that's a good thing, because they have then a good foundation so that when they pass out of time, it will be well with their soul. And so let us remember such a statement as this. Remember, here was Solomon, who'd done all he could to find out wisdom in this world, to find happiness in this world. He had as much money as he needed to explore every avenue. He'd done all that he could. And yet he realized that in actual fact, everything in this world did not bring true happiness, did not bring true peace. Did not bring true peace. Now, I believe this: when God speaks his word to our hearts, there is power, and it may be it comes like this. When the Lord was speaking to his disciples in the upper room on that Passover night, in the 14th of John, he spoke these words: "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give unto you. And then he says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now I believe when the Lord's word comes into our hearts, it brings with it a real peace. And the peace is this, to realize that God has taken notice of us, that God has called us, that God has spoken to us, and there's no greater blessing than to have God speak to our souls. You know, you can be the most successful person in the world, but that success will die with you. My friends, if God has spoken his word to our hearts with divine power, then it will have an effect and it will produce that peace, because it's the evidence that Almighty God has and is dealing with us. He's not left us. He's not pushed us aside. He's come to us and he's remembered us and he's called us. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Now, that word then will be in power, even if it is a very small, still small voice. Remember Elijah, when he ran away soon after he'd been up on Mount Carmel, and he was afraid of the queen, and he ran away, and he found himself in a cave, and the Lord came and he spoke to him. But there was an earthquake, and God didn't speak then, and there was a great wind, and God didn't speak then. But God came like this in a still small voice. But the prophet knew that God had spoken. And you know, the word he spoke was so appropriate, wasn't it? He spoke these words, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And it may be in a similar way for us in our life. We may have gone to some place which we shouldn't have gone to. We may have even thought we could justify it and think, well, there's no harm in it. Well, my friends, when you ever think that, there is harm in it. You know, you must try and avoid going to any place or doing anything that there might be harm in. And so perhaps you've gone to a place, and perhaps you're fearful what might happen to you. In my life, on two or three occasions, I've gone to places which I shouldn't have gone to. And I was very fearful the Lord would take my life in those situations. Well, I believe there, see, the Lord spoke, perhaps not in an audible voice as such, not with any particular text, but I knew God had spoken to me. Well, it'd be a blessing if perhaps you've been found in a place where you know you shouldn't have been. And although you thought it was all right and you tried to justify doing it, in your very deep conscience, you realize you shouldn't have been there. Well, it's a blessing if God comes and doesn't let you just carry on in such a situation. But, as it were, he strikes your heart. And what is it? Well, it's the word of God. What is it? It's described, you know, as the sword of the Spirit. When God applies that to your heart and my heart, you see, it has an effect. Well, where the word of a king is, there is power. Well, this morning I wonder whether you can look back in your lives to such a place. You perhaps wish you could erase it from your life. Well, we're not allowed to erase things like that from our life. You see, they're there. And God sometimes brings them back to our memory to remind us of his mercy, of his goodness toward us, insofar that he hasn't just ignored us and left us. No, my friends, God watches over us. And God deals with us in his gracious way. Sometimes he permits us to go and do those things of which we should not do. You know, we have that perhaps a relatively extreme case of which we read of with regard to the person that we refer to as the prodigal son. He got fed up with living with his father. He looked around and he saw the world and he thought, oh, that's a wonderful place. I want to get there. I want to spend my life in the things of the world. So he came to his father and said, give me my inheritance. I want it now. Well, the father gave him his inheritance. And off went the son. What did he do? He spent all his money in riotous living. He tried to have a good time. He thought, well, if I do all this, I'll really enjoy myself. Well, the time came, of course, when he'd spent it all. Nothing left. What was he going to do now? Well, we see the miserable condition he was in. He went and fed pigs and was quite happy to eat the pigs' food. And then you see God came and he began to be in want. And he realized by the grace of God what a foolish person he'd been. And he decided to return to his father. And he acknowledged that he probably wouldn't have a very good reception. Nonetheless, he was willing to return. But the fact was, he did have a good reception. And the wonderful thing was that the father was looking out for him. And so he returned. My friends, what a blessing it is when God calls us. And he called that prodigal son to return. And you see, those examples in the Word of God are there for us to take notice of. And not to just read and think, well, that's an interesting story. It is an interesting story. But my friends, it's very pertinent to our lives today. Realize how very relevant such an account is, and therefore not to want to escape the restraints of our home life, not to try and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What a blessing it is when the Spirit of God comes like this. The word of a king is, there is power. And God comes to us. And, you know, it's wonderful, isn't it, that God goes to every place. You and I can't go to a place which God doesn't know about. And you and I can't hide in a place that God won't find us. God knows every movement. God knows our every thought. We can't hide anything from Almighty God. And so what a favour it is when we understand that the Lord God is taking us in hand. We may not be very happy about it. We may not want it. We may rebel against it. We may say, well, I'm going to please myself. You know, the blessing is that God doesn't allow you to go beyond the bounds that he sets for you. God sets a fence, as it were, round about us. We may struggle sometimes to get out of that fence. Sometimes the fence is so high and it's so strong that we can't get through it. We may try. We find there's obstacles. See, God puts obstacles sometimes in our way. Sometimes those obstacles may be an illness. God may bring illnesses into our life which stops us doing certain things. And we may not be very happy about it at the time. But what a blessing if God brings us to our senses and we realise it's God who's bringing these difficulties into our life. What's he doing? He's hedging up our way. He's dealing with us as his children. We know, don't we, how parents endeavour to look after their children, don't they? Well, my friends, our Heavenly Father, he looks after his children. What a mercy then to realise that we have such a God who comes like this as a King of Kings. Where the word of the King is, there is power. And perhaps we may not like to acknowledge it, and we may try and put it from us. We may try and turn away from it, turn away from the word of God. I think I've told you before, but I'll tell it again. When I was a youngster, we had an old deacon in London who was a real rough diamond, and he'd been brought up to go to chapel, and he'd rebelled and left and got married and had a little family of children. And there he was one day. He was digging in his garden on a Sunday morning, and God spoke to him the same words I've just mentioned. And the words were, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he couldn't get those words out of his mind. So in the end, he packed up digging, threw his spade or fork, whatever it is, into the shed, and went indoors, and he got the radio on a shelf, and he turned it up to try and drown out these words. And well, the radio fell off the shelf and smashed on the floor, so that stopped that. And anyway, he said to his wife, well, he said, next Sunday we're going to chapel. And next Sunday he did go to chapel. He picked all the kids up, dirty as they were, playing in the garden, put them in the pram, and off they all went. You see, God had spoken his word, and it was as the word of a king. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and it's power to change that man. Change that man from following his own way. The Lord stopped him. What a blessing in our lives when God comes and stops us. And we realise God is speaking. The King is speaking. We may try and ignore it, but you won't be able to. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And so to record in our lives God's word. And my friends, you know, you may still rebel against God's word. God may have spoken to you, it's come with power, and you know it's God. And what are you doing? You're rebelling against it. You're rebelling against it. Well, let me tell you this. The Bible explains a condition like that, and it's like this. The word tells us, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You may think that rebelling against God is a good thing and you can get away with it. Well, you won't. And you'll find that rebellion is not a happy place. Indeed, the Bible explains it like this. It's like the sin of witchcraft. It's so, so evil to rebel against God, to try and do that which you think is right and pleasing to you. You don't want to bow down before God. Well, let me tell you this. Every person ever born in this world bows down before God. His people bow down before God in this life. The rest of mankind bow down before God at that great day of judgment. Every knee shall bow. My friends, what a blessing it is if you and I bow down before God in this life. When his word, the word of the King, comes to us, and the favour that we experience is this: we are made willing in the day of his power. We may rebel initially, but my friends, you see, God does not give up. God does not give up. God's purposes will be fulfilled. You can struggle. You can kick. You can try and get away. But you see, you won't be able to escape. God will put a rope around you. You may kick and try and move somewhere else. What a blessing it is to realize that God, who has loved us with everlasting love, then you see, draws us to him. And gradually we understand, oh, what love there is in such a God. He hasn't dealt with me as my sins deserve. He hasn't cut me off. But he's dealing with me in love to my soul. And how humbling that is, to realize that God is dealing with us in love to our soul. That's how God deals with his people. It's in love. It may not always seem that way. You see, the word tells us, the hymn writer says, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. You see, God fulfills his promises. And his promise is to save rebellious man, those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And then, you know, when the Lord then directs us to the great Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, when the blessed Spirit comes and then touches our hearts, enables us to look up. That time when the Spirit of God has humbled us, we realized how stupid we've been, how foolish we've been, how ignorant we've been, and yet God has still been gracious. We realize something of his love, and we look out of ourselves, and we see the Savior standing between us and a just God, in garments dyed in blood. Now, my friends, if God comes and speaks his word and reveals to us the Saviour, oh, you know, that brings peace, you know. That'll bring peace. That'll bring sorrow into your heart. It'll make you sorry for the way you behaved. Sorry for the rebellion that you've had. Sorry that you've offended God so much. And blessed it is to realize the power of God has turned you right round, from following your own evil way to follow the example of a despised and crucified man, and given you that winning spirit to be a true disciple. Yes, to forsake all and to follow him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. You see, God's word controls us. God's word directs us. God's word influences us. And then it is, you see, that as we come to this situation, and we acknowledge, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. You see, God does that which pleaseth him. Natural king can do things which please him, but my friends, what a blessing it is to realize we have a God who does those things which please him and will bring honor and glory to his great and holy name and bring salvation to our souls. For he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. My friends, God's purposes are wonderful. They are eternal. It's beyond our comprehension to realize that Almighty God has ordained all things, everything to come to pass in your life, to bring you at last safe home to glory. What a mercy it is to have such a God. You know, our life, if we're the children of God, our life here is just a preparation for our eternal home. And the Lord, therefore, takes us like a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke, where we kick and strive against God. He then breaks us in. And what does he do? He makes us willing in the day of his power. We're made willing to submit ourselves unto our God. We're willing to come and bow down and acknowledge him as our Lord and Master, as our great and glorious Saviour, as that one who has died for us, given his life as that perfect sacrifice to take away all our sin. Yes, you know, what a blessing it is when the Word of God comes powerfully and makes us repent of our sins and to confess our sins and to bow down before God and to acknowledge we're a great sinner and to seek for pardon. And then to have the Saviour direct us to himself, and we see that he's died to take away our sins. And what a cost. What a cost our salvation. Our sins. Bad sins. Terrible sins. And yet they're all been dealt with. Everyone. Everyone. The Saviour's paid the price. He's died upon Calvary's cross to redeem our souls. Oh, my friends, what a great God we have. What a merciful God we have. What a kind God we have, who doesn't deal with us as our sins deserve, hasn't left us to perish in our sins, to just go away. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And you will know what this power means. As I said, it's not in a great display of noise, but it's the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit that turns our life, that changes our desires, and it's the power of God through his word. Where the word of a king is, there is power. Well, let's come back. My friends, do we know anything of this in our own hearts, our own souls? You know, it's so important. And it's so wonderful if we can see God's work in our hearts. His wondrous grace has come to us. We didn't deserve it. No, but we stand amazed at God's goodness to us. And we recognize the favor of God who's given us this blessing to realize when his word has come, in whatever form that has been, there has been power to our souls. And we realize, yes, it's God's word. It's God's work. And how thankful I am that Almighty God hasn't cast me out, but he looked upon me in love and compassion towards me and has caused me to hear his voice and to do his word. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? You see, the Lord will take away all objections. We may have many reasons why we don't want to do this and do that. The Lord comes, and one by one, he removes the objections. and we recognise, yes, Almighty God has a perfect right to govern me. I am nothing in myself, but he is all and in all. What a mercy then to be brought to that condition. And it is then to be realised that, yes, God has been gracious to me, and I desire to acknowledge his mercy and his favour, and to praise him for his great blessing to my soul. And then you see, by his grace, we can look forward to that eternal happiness in glory when we shall be forever with the Saviour. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Amen.